Tua under center, tight end in motion. There's the snap. It's the end around. Coming to Washington 20. Got a block 15. Numbers 10. Near sideline 5. Pylon dive. Touchdown. Miami. Oh, what a statement. On the game opening drive, they go 70 yards.
That was Kevin Harlan last night on Westwood One. And yeah, that was way too easy. The Rams were in trouble from the opening drive. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. You know, if the Dolphins could just look like this every week, then...
Yeah, I don't agree with you on that. I did not think it looked like a smooth operation last night. Listen, how many points did they score?
23?
Yeah.
26? No, 23.
23. That's not going to do it for the Dolphins. Like, they won last night, but somehow they were just battering Matthew Stafford and the Rams. But this was not the greatest show on turf Dolphins. 23 points, and they... It was like they had long field goals, too. Both teams were depending on their kickers to hit 50-yard plus. It just wasn't like a smooth operation. It feels like the Dolphins are just trying to get everybody on the field and gel. This was not as good a team as I've gotten used to with that offense.
Okay, so, yeah, final score 23-15. Sorry about that. But here's the thing. You go on the road. You're going cross-country, primetime game when the Rams are healthy.
Yep.
Not just that. Rams were getting offensive linemen back in this game. Could have fooled me. They looked like a disaster. Matthew Stafford got sacked 4 times, including a crucial one in the fourth quarter. I find that this feels a little bit more, yes, it was not by any means easy outside of that opening drive for Miami.
Well, they
but
score
their defense looked really good.
I know, but what is this team then? Like, they scored on that opening drive. I'm like, oh, my God, they're going to drop 40 tonight. And then they really didn't do anything offensively the rest of the game, which to me is a little... Not only that, like, there were so many near turnovers and devastating sacks. Like, they looked sloppy as all get out. There was a key play in the fourth quarter where someone jumped to his route because everyone knows where he's going. And the guy just dropped the ball. Could have easily been a pick six. I thought the Dolphins got lucky to just sit on that lead because for some reason the Rams offense could not do anything last night. You're right. The defense looked great. But I look at the names on the jerseys. I'm not scared of that Dolphins defense. I am because of this Siler effect. But
yeah, either they put together just an amazing game plan last night or they found something with getting back some crucial guys. Like Siller. I maybe one guy kind of fills in a domino and everything else. Calais Campbell is 38 years old and they're making millennial jokes about him on social media last night. He's the only guy who knows what dial-up sounds like. He's the only person who's ever used a payphone. You know, stuff like that. But he looked rejuvenated. They're swatting down the passes at the line of scrimmage. And again, to me, this really came back to some of Stafford's offensive line issues. There were times when he just missed dudes, like, which is weird for Stafford. But other times I felt like he was under duress where you had Dolphins players just breaking through the right side of that offensive line.
Absolutely.
The interior,
and
mostly.
And big penalties on the offensive line as well. Yeah, I don't know why the Rams... But the Rams have not actually been a great team this year. They've been quite inconsistent. I get it. Aaron Donald's in the stands. And this is a young team, too. They're relying on a lot of young guys at key positions. Like, we love Jared Verse and Braden Fisk. But, again, rookies, so... I don't know. I'm not walking away from that saying, man, the Dolphins are back necessarily. I mean, they're 3-6. And again, 23 points in a game where they definitely should have put up a lot more than that.
If you're asking me about teams that I would feel any way confident about, and confidence too strong of a word, but where I could see it, we're talking about the 6th and 7th seeds here for the wild card and in the AFC. I'm giving you Denver. I'm giving you Indy.
Denver, I mean, they should be 6-4. That is crazy.
Well, they should have won last.
Yeah,
but
they almost beat the Chiefs.
But to be honest, like, have you seen a lot of the breakdowns from that game where basically the Chiefs were setting that up all game? Where guys, like, they got the angle on the Broncos kicker, and they were getting closer and closer and closer until they finally got it.
So that's by design. The Chiefs were like, well, we got it in hand. We're going to block a 35-yard field goal. Come on.
I'm telling you, Perloff, they were setting it up all game long where they were almost getting to the kicker.
Right. Brilliant game planning by Andy Reid. He's like, we're going to let them get down there, then we block it.
No, it's a Dave Tom, I think, is the Taub.
The Broncos had a 35-yard field goal to win the game, Maggie. Okay. Don't give me any like design here. Just the Broncos blew that in a huge way.
Okay, we're just talking about the bottom of the AFC now. And if you could see the Miami Dolphins actually sneaking into the playoffs, the Bengals should be better. But to be honest, their quarterback is awesome. Wide receiver is awesome.
Schedule has been pretty hard.
And they've got more AFC North teams on their schedule. Okay, they played the Ravens twice, but they still haven't played the Steelers at all. So the New York Jets, I mean, these are the other teams that are around them at 3-6, 3-7, 4-6. So,
well, here's the other thing, too.
And I think the Chargers are probably going to get that fifth wild card, the first wild card.
Do you really feel like, and I'm going to just say it, do you really feel like Tua is going to be here till week 18?
Why doesn't he wear the guardian cap?
He says, well, first of all, there's not a lot of proof that it works. That's one thing. I saw our buddy Quincy Avery, the quarterback coach, was saying, like, people are yelling at Tua to wear this guardian cap that people are really not confident helps. But the thing is, he was holding on the ball, taking big hits. Like, he got desperate to make a play. He really wants to win, and I credit him for that. It's a bad combination. I got nervous last night. And also, without Tyreek Hill as a quick strike weapon anymore, because I don't think he's around anymore. I don't think the old Tyreek Hill still exists. That offense is just going to really have to generate, really work hard to generate any big plays.
I mean, back to Tua for a second. Throws himself into a tackle. Got his head knocked by someone's knee. Like, dude, this is what people are talking about. I know it's a violent sport, and you can't take your instincts out of it and all of your training, but still. I mean, the best way you help this team is being on the field.
Well, to make this work, he has to get rid of the ball immediately. He's got to throw it to Tyreek 3 yards from the line of scrimmage and make a 30-yard play, or he's got to get Achan on a catch run. Like, they need to get rid of the ball immediately. And last night, he held on to it a bunch of times because it was such a close game. I don't see this as a wonderful formula. I just worry about him.
For the Rams side of things, I was wondering if this man would call in today. It's George in L.A., diehard Rams fan. George, you were so confident yesterday that the Rams were going to walk out of there with an easy dub.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's not always what it appears, and you can't kick five field goals and almost had six, but it doesn't matter because you got to have touchdowns in the NFL. And if you guys notice this year, the whole NFL, there's a lot of mediocre teams, a few good teams, a lot of mediocre teams.
Yeah, I think that's one of the big themes this year. You look down the schedule, how many 4-6, 3-7, 2-win teams? You know, Pearl, it's a lot of mediocrity this year.
Yeah, but
the only good thing.
Oh, it's a parody. Oh, right. Is it parody or mediocrity?
Well, you're watching last night, it feels like mediocrity. Because again, yeah, the Miami Dolphins defense, I thought, was the only unit in the game that distinguished itself last night. George,
yeah,
thank you.
I agree. Yeah. Only good thing they got going is they got New England next week. But New England seems to be regenerated a bit, but they should beat New England. But you know what? If they don't, they still might resurface that trade with Cooper Kupp and Stafford.
Well, trade deadline's passed. George, always the optimist. There's nothing you can do about it now.
But we say mediocrity. Stafford made a couple throws last night that probably two other humans on planet Earth can make. Like, they do, is that in there, that specialness with Nacua and Kupp? I just don't understand why they couldn't sustain any offense last night and why they couldn't block the Dolphins. The Dolphins hadn't touched a quarterback all season long. How that happened, I chalk it up to desperation. Like, their season was on the line and they were fired up and healthy. And also, the home field of the Rams is not like another home field. It's kind of thin.
I get that, but I know sometimes you think it's insulting when we say, like, bulletin board material, you know, motivates athletes. Probably, like, say you're a professional athlete, you should always be motivated. Does that same kind of urgency, desperation, is that not giving the Rams enough credit? Like, they should be feeling desperate, too. They're not in any – there's nothing guaranteed about the Rams.
Yeah, I mean, then they should wear this loss in a heavy way because they did not look fully energized for last night. I think the Rams are younger. I just think that they put this graphic up of all these great draft picks they've had in the last couple of years, these late-round picks. Like, they're relying in key spots on some very young guys. This might be – they're kind of trying to straddle a line between rebuild and winning with rookies and second-year players. That's hard to do.
I get it, but you have a seasoned quarterback. You've got a head coach that everybody loves and always wants to hire all their assistants, and I always feel –
he's awesome.
That's like the equalizer, you know? Kupp is not young.
Yeah, I mean, but remember last year they went on that playoff run? We were all quite surprised by that.
Yeah, definitely.
They don't feel like, you know, they aged out of that Super Bowl team.
You're welcome to weigh in, 855-212-4227 on what we saw last night. Just coming up in a little bit, we're going to talk about what's going on in Chicago. The Bears situation is very much devolving. But Perloff, you mentioned something to me today about how how happy you are that your family's back, because you've been left to your own devices over the last 3 days, and apparently you have not seen the sun.
No, I thought I was going to do all these things, clean my closet, see friends. And you know what really hurt? Saturday's college football slate was not good. There was a lot of blowouts. I had nothing really to watch. Went on all the streaming services. Can I just make an old man complaint? Like, there's nothing to watch anymore. Where are the good shows? Help me out. EJ keeps telling me to watch The Penguin on Max. I want something a little more uplifting, like something fun. Like, where is the comedies of my youth? There was nothing to do this weekend. I almost called you and said, hey, you want to bring the family over to Brooklyn and hang out at my house?
I was at a rave. I forgot.
You were in D.C. You were raving in D.C. Yeah, people with young kids who are out there listening were probably so jealous that I got basically the apartment to myself for 48 hours. It was deadly boring.
It just sounds like it was a pin drop in there. EJ's telling you he's giving you 45 recommendations, but yeah, you're right. There's nothing to watch. This is why we have sports, thank goodness. I'll take the Dolphins-Rams over starting a new show right now.
Well, I was like, okay, you know, the days I'm not doing anything, but at least I got Alabama LSU tonight, and then that was a dud. And then Sunday, am I going to wake up early and watch the Giants and the Panthers? Well, I did, and I regret every minute I spent watching that game.
And then you had blowouts even later. We thought maybe the Jets Cardinals would be good. That wasn't good. Cowboys-Eagles wasn't good.
The 4 o'clock window was an abomination.
You could have gotten some fresh air, you know?
Remember that Seinfeld episode, Summer of George, where basically Costanza does whatever he wants? I thought I was going to have the fall weekend of Andrew, and it was just a total, you know, I sat on the couch and ate cheese. But other than that, it was not exciting in any way.
Some kind of bachelor paradise. Manny doesn't know what we're talking about. 855-212-4227. Let's go to Kevin. He's in Oregon. You have a question about the 49ers, Kev.
Yeah. I know you guys talked about this yesterday, but do you have any idea why Deebo Samuel went after the long snapper instead of going after Moody? I mean, did he think that he had to, you know, do something, but he couldn't go after the kicker because they might need him later in the game? I just didn't understand what happened there.
Yeah, so I think he actually, so unpacking this a little bit more, apparently what he said was, hey, he said to the kicker, Moody, lock in, after he missed his third straight field goal.
Yeah.
Apparently that's what Deebo said. He told him, lock in. The long snapper, feeling a little defensive, I guess, took issue with that. At least this is Kyle Shanahan's story.
Yeah.
The long snapper took issue, said something to Deebo. Deebo chokes him, and then they went their separate ways. And Kyle Shanahan said, it's over, it's done, squashed. He goes, but I like it from Deebo, and he said he liked it from the long snapper defending the kicker. So Kyle Shanahan, where's the Doc Rivers spin doctor?
I'll say Deebo locked in, all right. Locked his hand right around that guy's neck.
Yeah. So, like that.
Yeah, all right.
But you can't say anything to the kicker, right? Like, that's basic karma 101. Like, you don't say anything to the kicker. Even, like, what is the approach? George Kittle had a great line. He's like, it was all my fault because on Moody's first kick, I stood up. And he said, like, basically the universe tilted. He said, I never stand up on field goal attempts, but for some reason I stood up. And he's like, it's my fault. Because, like, maybe a Niners fan was in the wrong place and was in the kitchen when they should have been in the living room. Like, you can't touch it. Deebo's wrong. Like, you can't say lock into a kicker. Like, that kicker is trying. Like, doesn't help.
No, I don't think it helps at all.
Yeah.
Kevin, thank you for the call. And, it just is going to make him nervous. Also,
right, exactly.
The guy's like, he's in his second year. He's been hurt. This is his first game back after missing several games. Like,
like, does he not know to lock in? He's like, wait a second. You're right. I mean, we're playing an NFL game. I should lock in here.
It's like, it's so weird. I was playing Nintendo Switch this whole time, and I wasn't locked in. Now I am locked in, but he did kick the game winner.
Hey, Deebo, maybe you have more than a 2-yard run on first down at one point this season. I mean, your outfit was awesome coming into the game. Did you see the leather shorts?
I did.
Deebo has really fallen off. I think that is one of the big storylines that is not getting talked about in San Francisco.
Can you imagine what would happen if a second-year anybody, kicker, wide receiver, defense man, told Deebo Samuel to lock in?
Only God knows.
Well done, Manny. It'd be a brawl. 855-212-4227. And obviously Debo's, you know, earned a lot more, I guess, respect. Yeah. He's got a lot more skin in the game, but still. No one would say that to Deebo.
That would scare me if, like, Deebo came over and said lock in after I've missed three field goals. I'd be like, or what?
If I was a long
what if I don't Tampa. Lock in?
By the way, if I was a long snapper, I would have gone after Debo for sure, right? Like, that is the
I agree.
Somebody's got to step up. Like, and I love Debo as a player, but he is a bit controversial. Like, he says a lot of things.
Well, by the way, the long snapper is maybe the biggest dude on the team. Did you see how big that guy
was? He is tall, yes.
So, you know, it's almost like an offensive lineman having to shove a defensive lineman when they hurt the quarterback. It's like the long snapper's got to stand up for the kicker. This is...
What did I say in week three? I swear, pull the tape. Niners have to fire their special teams coach. That was real. I can't believe.
You did say that.
And the Jets needed to get rid of Greg Zuerlein. But the Niners special, it's not just a missed field goal. Just watch any return is a total adventure. You're a Super Bowl aspiring team and you have the worst special teams unit in the NFL. That's not a good sign for the Niners.
855-212-4227. See you guys on the phones. Hang tight 1 second. We will get to the Bears, we promise. We see you. Want to talk about everything and anything, and we got you. Also, coming up later in the show, we are going to talk some college football with our pal Andy Staples, which we're excited about. And we've got our college football report card on this fine Tuesday.
Can I just
gloating this morning? I'm sorry. Take it away.
I just want to thank Puka Nacua personally. you were a fifth round pick. I always believed in you. And last night I believed in you. He had 9 catches last night. I didn't even realize. I was like, well, they're not really getting the ball. And then they just feed him. I won on Prize Picks last night. My streak is heating up, Maggie. It's the best place to get real money sports action, watching football with over 10 million members, billions of dollars in award winnings. Prize Picks has made daily fantasy sports accessible to all.
So the cool thing about the app, it's simple to use. Now, you can pick 2 or more players across any sport, or you could pick 2 players in one sport. The NBA is in full effect tonight. Joel Embiid making his season debut. You could pair that with Jason Tatum, more or less 28.5 points. Embiid, 38.5 points plus rebounds.
Yeah.
So it's cool now that the NBA is really finally getting off the ground. Yeah. Prize Picks is your place. They even invented Flex Play so you can still cash out if one of your picks doesn't hit. So all you got to do, download the Prize Picks app today. Use the code M&P. Get a $50 credit instantly when you play $5. That's code M&P, M&P on Prize Picks to get a $50 credit instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. Prize Picks, run your game. Must be present in certain states where it's lawful to wager. Visit prizebooks.com for restrictions and details.
Mand P.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. We are breaking down Debo Samuel grabbing the neck of the long snapper in San Francisco. Never a good sign. Never a good sign. They somehow came away with the win. Thank God for the Niners that they won that game over Tampa Bay, who really had no right to be in the game. But Debo Samuel, I'm curious. I actually didn't know that Kyle Shanahan addressed it directly, and you sort of explained the backstory.
Yeah, that Debo told Jake Moody, the kicker who had missed 3 field goals, to lock in.
Lock in.
And the long snapper was defending Jake Moody, and then it got heated. But if they had lost that game... Do you remember the story from over the weekend about the Auburn basketball players who were fighting each other on the plane so much that did the plane land or they never took off?
No, it did an emergency landing.
An emergency landing because these two guys were arguing with each other and they ended up leaving those dudes back at Auburn, went to Houston, beat the Cougars somehow.
Amazing.
That would have been a brawl times 10, I think, if they had lost that game. Because that guy, Tabor Pepper, who's the long snapper, looks like he could be a professional wrestler. He's huge. He looks really big. And Debo's not going to back down. And the tempers would have only flared more, I have a feeling.
Yeah, I mean, maybe that's what the Niners need. Maybe they need a shakeup. Maybe they need guys fighting to get out of this doldrums.
And that's a generous read.
I mean, I'm being serious. Like the Niners are 5-4. They should be 7-2. It's not like they have just blown games. Like take that Cardinals game. Like that somebody should have been fired after that game. Like they're getting into these games and happen on Sunday too. Big leads going in the fourth quarter, and for some reason they're just not a finishing team right now. I kind of like it. Maybe we need a fight here.
Dude,
me and Bogish.
You and Bogus as a tag team? Or
no, against
versus
each other.
Hmm.
I would not want to witness that fight. That would be bad.
You guys aren't the same Well, are
we're similar weight classes.
I would say I wouldn't want to see it. Like, it would be just a bad fight. Like, I have no fighting skills whatsoever. And Bogus, I imagine you're not very much of a Jake Paul.
Have you actually ever slapped another man?
You suck, Bogus.
I've never been in an actual fight except with like my brother, on a basketball court, like a push or a shove, but a real fight with fists and punches, no, never.
So we've got many people on the show who wear glasses.
Yeah, yeah.
EJ wears glasses, Bogus does, yeah. Perloff does. Yeah, yeah. Manny and I are the only people glasses free.
Losers.
Is that a concern?
Definitely. You have to take the glasses off. If you're about to throw down, if we're throwing hands, me and Bogus.
No, I get that. If you're a woman, you got to put your hair up. Like, I get we all have our things we've got to do. But then where do you put the glasses that they're not going to get smashed?
I don't fight, and I have no idea.
Put them in the front pocket or jeans or something.
Isn't there an assistant that holds them for us?
Throw them to someone in the crowd that's suddenly forming around.
Yeah, the guy, my corner guy holds them.
Hold on, folks. Hold tight. Big Easy is in New Orleans. Big Easy, you have a thought on this Deebo Samuel versus the punter versus the long snapper. I mean, the kicker.
Hey, good morning, Maggie and Perloff. I just wanted to tell you that Pat McAfee broke this completely down. The offensive tackle had his feet in an outward position, and they were level with one another. That's why he fell straight back down on his katush, because your feet actually have to be inwards, pointed towards the person that you actually got to block, and you have to have one of them off the line in order for them not to fall backwards. They've seen this. KC, it's beautiful. You can see these little things on tape, and what they did is they overloaded that one position, and what happens, he went straight back.
Yeah.
If you fall straight back, then you know you made a mistake.
Right.
Now, this is something that's taught from a very low level. And one other thing.
Wait, sorry, Big Easy. That just confused the bejesus out of us. We thought you were talking about what happened with Deebo Samuel and the long snapper and the kicker for the 49ers. You were talking about what happened with Kansas City blocking the Denver Broncos 35-yard field goal.
Yeah, I apologize.
That's okay.
I apologize. I was really calling and hoping that you would expand when you said you went to a rave. On that, I apologize. Y'all have a good morning, but I just wanted to see if you would expand on your rave.
Yeah, on the rave. Thank you.
I've already
heard
the story, and I want to hear it again because I'm still having trouble wrapping my head around, Maggie, your experience at a rave on Saturday.
Well, you know, when you start hanging out with people in their 20s, sometimes you find yourself at a rave. And Manny, you're in your 20s. EJ, you're just in your 30s, basically. You guys are younger. I found myself at a rave with a bunch of 20-somethings at 5:30 in the afternoon in our nation's capital. I did not think I was going to something like this. I just think young people today, Pearl, have figured out partying in a way that people like us, I'll say millennials, that's what I am, just never did. They're in bed by 11.
My Generation X invented raves. What are you talking about?
But you had to wait till 2 a.m. to get the good stuff going. They're doing it at 5:30 in the afternoon, still getting your 10 hours, 8 hours of sleep.
I know why.
Why?
I think it's because these youngsters have phones and dating apps. They don't need to go get hammered to meet people. I think that's the main difference between young people. They have no idea. Like, nobody has a rap anymore. Like, you don't have to worry about your outfits. You just have a phone.
You have a profile you got to worry about.
You have a profile, right. Like, that's where your energy, like, you have no idea. They have no idea how hard it was to meet people back in our day. And you were there, too.
I know. Well, I think now it's like the, there's a name for this, where you have so many choices, it's impossible to make a choice.
Paradox of choice.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Where... why would you ever stop being on the dating app? Because you never, unless like you fall in love, of course, but there's so many fish in the sea and they're literally all in your phone.
Yeah, I mean, that exact dynamic kind of works before the phone, too. Like, a lot of guys don't want to get married. No. Like,
I know. Yeah. I know commitment phobia didn't start with Tinder.
I'm not sure. Yeah, the old joke is...
it's easier, though, to meet people now.
This guy doesn't want to get married because just in case... when he's 75 years old, he's walking on the beach and a Sports Illustrated swimsuit model comes up to him and says, hey, I'd like to go out with you. Yeah. Like, you don't want to tie yourself down just in case.
Listen, keep hope alive, guys.
And like, talking out of school, we know that happened to a friend of ours where he got engaged and then 3 weeks later found out that a swimsuit model had a crush on him. I am not naming any names.
don't say that to people because that's such an exception. Like,
no,
that never happens.
No, but it's a you never know situation, Maggie. No, you never know.
We literally worked at Sports Illustrated. That is not happening to everyone.
I don't know. I got married and then Kate Upton, she's like,
no.
Justin Verlander, $300 million in the bank. Andrew Perloff, $30,000 in debt.
Listen, you got to make the choice tough on her, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kate Upton, by the way, taller than me. It's incredible.
Yep, she is. I found myself at a rave. And it was very, very fun.
But Maggie, did you do research? Are we sure the rave was at 5:30 for efficiency reasons? So they wanted to go to bed soon?
No, I think that's like young kids today are sort of prioritizing certain parts of their health. A lot of people aren't drinking like they used to either.
Knee-deep in Molly, so I don't know what they're...
I didn't see anything, folks. So
but
I
actually, I don't
say.
Know if you can do drugs like that anymore because of fentanyl. Like that's a big issue.
Well, is that too? I'm still dubious about this early rave.
Me too. We're missing something.
Yeah, because
I've got video.
I know, but no, I'm not convinced. I'm convinced that it happened, but I'm right. not convinced that it was starting at 5 o'clock or the height of it was at 5 o'clock.
So they could get their beauty sleep.
24-hour raves is definitely also a thing with these kids today. I've covered them as a news person. Like they also do the 24-hour thing. I wonder if you found yourself at a 24-hour rave that you think started at 5, but actually started at like 11 p.m. the night before.
Well, everyone was in pajamas, which is weird. Yeah. No, I don't know.
Too, is it D.C. kind of a nerd town, too? Like, that can see, like, it's not like New York or L.A.
Yeah. But do nerds go to raves at any time?
Well, I think a place like D.C., like...
I mean, I was at one.
But you were taken by someone else.
I was.
But, like, the cutting edge, like, in Paris, Tokyo, New York, L.A.,
Ibiza.
Are they Ibiza? Well, Ibiza is different. They're doing raves 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But I wonder if this was D.C. specific because everyone has their consulting job at some sort of political lobby the next day.
Have you seen things over there? This has now become popular for a while. There's like morning dance parties.
Yeah. I see it on the news, but I've actually never talked to anyone who's gone to one of them. Like, it feels like this is something that looks good on like a morning news show. Like, and the kids these days, like,
they're
do people really
on
do
orange
this?
Juice.
Yeah, I don't know if that many people are mourning raving.
Can I also, as a young person, defend the struggles of online dating? Because it was a lot of, it was so much, it was so much harder back in my day. Because you guys didn't have catfish.
Oh, that's a good point.
And it's funny because I'm someone who met my fiance in online dating. We had friends over who also met via online dating. And her friend's partner was talking about how they once went on a date. And the person was just not the person. It was a different person. Oh. And then when he tried to leave and say, hey, I don't know what's going on, but clearly you're not the same person. They got mad at him and said, oh, you're being shallow. You're being this and that for not taking me for who I am. So you guys didn't have any of that baggage that comes with the catfishing that comes with online dating. At least you knew who you were seeing when you actually met with somebody.
That is scary.
Yeah.
I was wondering.
By the way, I never thought the online dating was easier.
I think
it's harder.
I have friends who are just like...
The hookups might be easier.
It is easy to hook up on some of these sites.
Right. Okay, so for guys, that's a little different. But
the sites favor women. Like, it's harder. It's famously much harder to be a guy on these sites than women. The women have the pick of the litter.
So here's the thing, though, right? It's like, are these sites, and we're talking about dating sites now, are they actually designed to help you find somebody, or are they designed to keep you on the site?
That's a great question. I mean, I'm going to vote for the latter, that they want it because their business is keeping you on the site. That's a really good point.
Right. So,
The casino pumping in air to keep you awake and there's no windows and no clocks.
Exactly. They just want you to be like, well, look at all these ladies, all these guys. Like, I'm just going to stay on Bumble forever, whatever.
Yeah, they're comping you a room so you stay dating all night long. But, I mean, I meet a lot of couples who met online. So
it's, do I. Yeah. I think it's the way to meet now.
That's so sad. That something about it's just sad.
It's not sad. It's just of the time. This is just of the moment.
I don't know. I'm nostalgic for the days where I would stumble into a bar in the
Wait,
the
how'd
village.
You meet Sarah?
You don't want to know.
Basketball Dartmouth?
No, through a friend.
5:30 rave?
There's no story. Through a friend.
Oh, what's so bad about that?
We were at a birthday party.
Was it Bruce?
No, it was a woman. Bruce.
Bruce has got.
I never met anyone named Bruce.
One-eyed Bruce. Bruce got a glass eye, once lost it mid-coitus.
Yeah.
Welcome to the show.
It's the greatest story ever told.
The best.
I did meet Thomas Everett Scott, the actor from the that
on
movie
a
with Tom. No, through Bruce.
Oh, okay.
They were in college together, Bruce. And he was in our fantasy football league. That's who I met through Bruce. No, I'm a little distracted here, but yeah, I think it was our system was better. Alcohol fueled hookups.
Tell them that I'm my husband.
Now.
Does that? Well, apparently not, because everyone's got to be in bed by 8 o'clock to get that beauty sleep.
I never said they were in bed alone. I just don't know. Bogus has headlines for us. Hi.
These headlines are sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Protect your home and auto. Save when you bundle. Get a quote at progressive.com.
Bogus.
It took way too long, but Tyreek Hill back in the end zone last night for the Dolphins.
Tua takes a snap. Pulls it back out. Throws it. Touchdown. It's Tyreek Hill.
Oh, feel that excitement on Dolphins radio. First TD since week one for Hill, the longest drought of his career. He only caught two other passes, a total of 16 yards in L.A., but his Dolphins held off the Rams 23-15 to snap a three-game skid. Tua, hoping the whole team slump, is now over.
The resilience of this team with the external noise, everyone counting us out, you know, hopefully this is an opportunity for us to not waste. You know, hopefully we can go on a run with this win.
The Rams' three-game winning streak is over. They're now 4-6 overall. Their offense never found the end zone last night, turned the ball over twice, and had just one third down conversion before its final drive. Don't worry, Cooper Rush gets another start for the Cowboys. It comes next Monday night against the Texans. You'll be shocked to hear that Florida men's basketball fans cheered for head coach Todd Golden last night as he coached while under school investigation for sexual harassment and stalking.
I thought it was great. I thought they were as usual. And obviously, you know, during the current circumstances, I appreciated it.
As for the game, the 20th-ranked Gators beat Grambling 86-62.
By the way, Bogus, we're having Andy Staples on, the college football writer from On3. He was at Florida in the 2000s, was a walk on the football team. And he saw crazy, crazy stuff. Right now, the Florida sports programs seem like one of the most bizarre, dysfunctional programs in college sports I can remember.
Well, it was a little curious where they give Billy Napier, let's put the basketball stuff aside for a second, because that's really serious and, quite frankly, a little disheartening that someone who it appears to be maybe credibly being accused of these things is not at least being put on some kind of academic leave. That would be my first thing. While this gets all sorted out, I'm not saying he needs to be fired. I'm saying do the investigation. But it is a little odd that he's on the sideline. Let's put that on the side for a second. I thought in terms of football, Billy Napier getting this vote of confidence and then they go out and get smoked.
Oh, yeah.
So what does it mean? Is it worth the Florida Gator letterhead that it was printed on, vote of confidence?
You know what the irony is? If you ever read any of those U.S. News and World Reports college rankings, like Florida is a rocket ship. That university is impossible to get into. It's supposed to have amazing, like everything is great about that school right now, except that this is a black eye. I mean, in serious, we'll see where this men's coaching, the basketball story goes, but it feels like a real embarrassment to me.
Well, and there's also two other coaches that they've had to either kind of fire or part ways with. Soccer is one, and somebody else that both were doing different, you know, misdeeds in their job. So it's not just these two. These are the two high-profile ones, but this is now three pseudo-scandals involving coaches in that program.
I think I figured out why that statement came out. I think the AD knows that if he has to fire Napier, he's the one that's gone. Because when you look at...
Because he hired him.
Right. And you look at the dysfunction of the rest of the athletic program, like you guys have mentioned, he's on a very short road, too. A lot of the Florida fans are very upset with him for good reason, for all the things that are happening. Maybe this could have... I don't want to say him going rogue, but him leading the athletic department, he might have tried to get ahead of that Texas blowout. Mm. Say, hey, Napier's going to be fine. He's going to be back. Because if he has to go to those boosters and say, all right, I need some more money to buy out Napier to then hire some other big name, big money coach, they're going to say, we'll do it, but you're not going to be the one picking the guy. You're out too.
Yep.
Yeah. And it's a great point. We saw some of the estimates were it'd be about $40 million to make a coaching switch because Napier's got about $28 million left. They owe him 85% of that salary. Then hiring a new coach and all of their assistants, it's a lot.
And apparently the large majority of their NIL money is in underclassmen. So they want to preserve that investment and keep those kids around and not have them leave if they fire Napier. So it's probably even more than $40 million in like sunk costs if you get rid of him. And then the roster gets depleted.
But I don't understand. They're University of Florida. Like, money should not be an issue. Why is money an issue there? I get maybe.
Well, the program's been down.
Yeah, but still, they're not, even Alabama, I understand Alabama doesn't have unlimited funds because it's a smaller state. This is a huge state, it should be the premier program. Like, money, $40 million should be a drop in the bucket. Get into private equity.
Now they got to pay players, Perloff. It's a little bit different.
Oh my God.
When you got all the labor for free before.
I watch college football. I watch college football games. They're about 9 million TV commercials. Where's that million? All that IBM Watson money going?
That will eventually be going to the players.
Yeah,
but right now, it's not.
It's going to administrators. It's all that money is going to administrators, and it's kind of a garbage situation.
You know what's interesting about the Todd Golden thing, the basketball coach who's being accused of unwanted sexual advances on Instagram, requesting sexual favors and sending photos and videos of his genitalia along with stalking and other things. It's the student-run newspaper that broke this story and is doing all pokish. I know you mentioned that. I'm sorry. But
no.
It's like, I'm very curious how this turns out.
And we're seeing that now at a lot of these schools where it's a student-run newspapers.
Northwestern, that happened with the hazing situation.
We're there, and we talk about the state of media. We're mentioning Michael Parsons. Is he a media member or whatever title he has? We're starting to see the state of media where it's the student-run papers at these schools that are getting these massive stories of misconduct. Does kind of speak to just kind of the state of sports media as a whole.
Yeah, I mean, basically, I don't see Micah Parsons breaking any stories.
I don't think this is the journalism aspect. I don't think we're expecting from Parsons.
What's Micah Parsons' inside scoop on the Jason Kelce Penn State situation? As a Penn State alum, I thought he would be on the ground.
New angles of that phone getting smashed? Is that what you're talking about?
Exactly.
NBA last night, the Cavs won again, 119-113 in Chicago. They are the eighth team ever to start a season 12-0. The Thunder 1-0 after losing Chet Holmgren to that broken pelvis. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander pouring in a career-high 45 in a 134-128 home win over the Clippers. Head coach Mark Daigneault, not surprised his guys stepped up.
This is a team that has made a habit in a number of years now of responding to challenges with energy and together and seeing them as opportunities. These are resilient, high-character people, and that's on display time and again.
This might be the problem, though. Without Chet, the Thunder's tallest starter last night was 6'6". They were out-rebounded 47-29 in the game. Ooh. Pirates righty Paul Skeens, the luckiest man on the planet, according to my 10-year-old son, is now a finalist for NL Rookie of the Year and Cy Young. He's going to win Rookie of the Year, but Braves lefty Chris Sale, Phillies righty Zach Wheeler might have better shots at that Cy Young.
Wait a minute. I'm not glossing over that. So Jake's a big fan of Livy?
He wants to be a pitcher. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, it's the whole package.
Okay.
Well, it's funny because I hope this isn't, talking out of turn here, but doesn't Jake has like a little girlfriend? And I was going to ask, did they meet online?
No,
what
I hope
app
not.
Is there for 10-year-olds?
Snapchat. Just straight texting.
Sorry, another left turn. Did you see Pat McAfee's shot at Paul Skeens on game day? Paul Skeens was picking games. He goes, I did a lot of homework on this game. And McAfee goes, unlike your time at LSU, is that the first time you've ever done homework?
The SEC fining Ole Miss $350,000 for their field storming on Saturday. 250 is the norm. An extra $100,000 tacked on because they went on the field before the game was actually over. That money goes to Georgia since they lost that game. LSU, meanwhile, docked $250,000 for fans throwing things on the field Saturday. That money goes to a conference fund. Guys, back to you.
That's funny. McAfee better be careful because I don't know how many West Virginia football players were hitting the books that hard.
Do they even have school there?
I don't know. Thank you, Bogish. Coming up, Perloff has an all-time what if about the Dallas Cowboys. This is inspired. We'll get to that next.
Oh, boy.
Europe's favorite song.
This because Maggie was saying people don't do homework at West Virginia?
I was simply making a joke because Pat McAfee made a joke that Paul Skeens had never done homework at LSU. And I thought, well, I don't think the West Virginia football team is not exactly Yale.
Wow.
I'm sure Geno Smith is smart. Who else went to West Virginia?
Yeah, I'm sure the starting quarterback was just doing homework all day and not studying his playbook. Yeah. Probably there's like Rhodes Scholars who went to West Virginia. I don't know who they are.
I'm sure. I've been to West Virginia. I've met a lot of smart people at West Virginia.
Wait, isn't Jerry West from West Virginia?
Definitely.
He's brilliant.
It was just a joke.
By the way, any athlete at any school probably doesn't do homework, so let's be fair.
Okay, Perloff has an all-time what if about the Dallas Cowboys.
Can I give you two all-time what ifs? Please, why not?
Yeah, give us two all-time what ifs about the Dallas Cowboys. The floor is yours.
There are two coaching hires that are already, I mean, no surprise getting floated out there. If you watch ESPN yesterday, there's two names that get clicks. Bill Belichick and Deion Sanders. Now, both sound like you say, oh, this is just people like drumming up media attention. I'm telling you right now, Maggie, both have a chance. Because apparently, according to Jordan Schultz, our buddy, NFL reporter, NFL insider, Bill Belichick has a great relationship with the Joneses.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the number one thing. Jerry only hires people he likes. He hired Parcells, who he didn't know and hated every second of it, reportedly.
Okay.
So he's going to get a friend. He's about the same age as Bill Belichick, and this is a perfect fit. Like, Belichick will get in there and fix everything wrong with the Cowboys. Jerry's got to put his ego to the side and say, this is the guy. Let me tell you why. Culture, he'll immediately turn that around. That's Bill Belichick's thing. Defense, there's so many good pieces on this defense that Bill Belichick could play around with because he's got Micah Parsons, who'll be his LT. He's got Demarion Overshawn, who's a superstar in the making. He's got cornerbacks. How many teams have cornerbacks? A team that needs a coach has two, like, basically elite cornerbacks if they get back healthy next year. He's got DeMarcus Lawrence, so he can do a lot with that defense. Remember when the Patriots used to draft defensive linemen every year? Guess who does that now? The Dallas Cowboys. He's got first-round linemen. He's going to fix that offensive line, bring in his old buddy Dalton Scarnecki or some offensive line coach. And also, what's the last one I have? I have one more reason that he's going to... Oh, he's got a draft pick. He's got a high draft pick here. They're probably going to be top eight because Cooper Rush isn't going to win any games. I have a perfect pick for him. Mason Graham, Michigan, defensive tackle. He's going to fix the run game. He's great against the run. Even when the Patriots were bad, he was great against the run. So all these reasons to me make Jerry Jones has got to go against his trend of hiring sort of mid-level names and go for Bill Belichick.
Okay, that's the case for Belichick. Now give me the other case.
So Deion Sanders is not in anybody's odds to go there. He's started to float around. Do not discount this idea because apparently he is also really close friends with the Jones family. Obviously played in Dallas. I think you can make a great football argument for Deion here. And now I know that sounds weird because he's never coached in the NFL, but he's another guy like Belichick culture. He went into Colorado, immediately cut the entire team. We laughed at the time. I criticized it, and it turned out it was probably a good idea. What team is ripe for cutting everyone starting over?
Oh, my goodness.
He's got to go in there.
Transfer portal.
He's got to go in there with that kind of attitude and say what happened was not acceptable. So I think Deion has a little proof of concept that he can turn around a culture immediately. He took a 1-11 Colorado team. Believe me, I've been slow to praise him. Won four games and now is up to seven. Culture, he knows the standard in Dallas. He was there in the 90s. He understands like what it means to be a winning Cowboys team. He can get Travis Hunter in the draft. He doesn't need Shador because he's already got Dak. But he could get Travis Hunter. If Travis Hunter is anywhere near the Cowboys, he's going to put out the word, do not draft this guy. He's not signing. He's coming with me. And finally, he'll share the spotlight. I know that sounds crazy, but he lets his other coaches do all the coaching. He doesn't even recruit. He's never gone to a high school in his life. He is definitely a huge delegator. He has to be because he's doing so many things. So I think he would easily say, Jerry, Steven, you could pick the players. I will be here. Give me Travis. I think he would be a really good fit there, and it's a weird fit. I think it'd be the best fit for Deion to go to Dallas because who else can handle all this hype except Mr. Hype himself, Deion Sanders?
Do you believe in that?
That was a lot of words.
Wow. I mean, you laid out some really good cases there, and I'm going to be honest. I thought you made the more compelling, realistic case for Deion.
Yeah, I
mean, there is something about the Belichick wanting the keys. And, you know, to be honest, I think Belichick and the culture, yes, he definitely did a lot of that. I think you needed the right quarterback, too. And maybe Dak would also be that right guy, but you're getting him so late in his career.
He's 31 years old.
It feels late.
It feels late. Well, actually, I think we could discuss this later in the show. If Belichick has a choice between Dak Prescott, Trevor Lawrence, or Caleb Williams, your instinct, I think, would go with the younger guy, but I'm not sure those guys have proven anything.
No,
so maybe at least Dak has been a Pro Bowler.
No, I get it. I don't see Jerry and Bill being able to do this. Jerry and Dion, I do, because they have this shared history together of winning. And I think that, to be honest, I wonder if Jerry might trust Dion a little bit more even than Bill, just because he knows him.
Yeah, it would be an against the grain hire for Jerry. But there are, football-wise, so many compelling reasons.
It's interesting. 855-212-4227. All right, Perloff laid it out there. Who's the better coach for the Cowboys, Bill Belichick or Deion Sanders?